Chapter 7, Am I Called? The Answer. Before I knew it, it was Friday morning, and Mike and I were on I-77 headed to the Charlotte Douglas Airport. With our busy work schedules, we hadn't had many opportunities to talk about the trip. We made small talk most of the way, except at one point Mike became a little more serious. Thomas, he said, look in the mirror. You will not be the same person when you get back. As I heard those words, I thought I knew what he meant. I had never been to a developing country. I would be exposed to poverty and living conditions like I had never seen. Honestly, I really wasn't sure what to expect. It wasn't until on the flight from Miami to Nicaragua that I became more focused on the purpose of the trip. My mind raced forward to meeting Avery, meeting with the community at the bridge site, and finally, whether or not God would provide me with an answer to my question, Am I called? I had specifically asked God for a physical sign and not just a feeling in my heart. I wanted a sign so that if someone ever asked me if I was called to build these bridges, I could provide them with a definite answer. Yes. About an hour into the flight, I decided to pull out a small, pocket-sized devotional book to read. It was a 40-day devotional book I had picked up at church 2 weeks before the trip, but had not yet opened. I briefly stopped to ask God to bless the trip, to pray for our safety, and to thank Him for this opportunity to reach out to help others. I slowly opened the small devotional book to day one. When I saw the scripture passage, tears streamed down my face. I slowly shook my head in disbelief as I wiped away the tears. The devotion was based on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, where Jesus calls Peter out of the boat. I now had the answer to my prayer. And it came as a physical sign, just like I had asked, though not as dramatic as the burning bush as seen by Moses in the Bible. It was the clearest sign I had ever received from God in my life. I spent the remainder of the flight reading the other day's devotions. At some point, I noticed the lady beside me had become interested in what I was reading. Wanting to be a witness for Christ, I let her read along as I read each devotional aloud. She was from Nicaragua and spoke some English, but I wasn't sure how well she could read it. I didn't think much about this until later I learned she was a Jehovah's Witness. As the pilot lowered the plane's altitude in preparation for landing, I peered out the window to see the country of Nicaragua for my first time. As I gazed at the mountains covered with thick green forest, the lady turned to me and said, "My country is very beautiful, but very poor." Wow, what a profound statement. After slowly making our way through customs and airport security, I quickly turned my attention to finding Avery. Her flight should have arrived 2 hours before ours, so it was no telling where she might be. I told her in an email that I would be wearing a Clemson hat, which I thought would be easy to spot in Nicaragua. There were a lot of people waiting for their families and others holding up signs with names on them, but Avery was nowhere to be seen. The success of this trip depended on her being able to receive the airline ticket in Guatemala I had bought online the week before, then making the flight to Nicaragua. As we continued through the airport, Mike saw Danilo. Danilo is Mike's longtime Nicaraguan friend and the one who told Mike about the need for the pedestrian walking bridge. He was glad to see Mike and happy to meet me, a person whom he felt brought hope to making his vision of the bridge a reality. As we continued talking, Mike noticed a young woman sitting on a bench across the room. It was Avery. I'm not sure who was excited to see whom the most, but I was relieved that she had made the flight. After brief introductions, we gathered our luggage and started out towards Danilo's passenger van. As we walked, I began to have a strong feeling of this bridge project becoming an incredible story.